Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
It is Monday, the 17th of October, getting closer and closer to that infamous date here in November when we're going to find out just how honest elections really are in the United States. We're going to talk today a little bit about the Department of Justice. I read a very, very interesting editorial yesterday written by an attorney whose name is Harmit Dhillon. She is very much a constitutionalist, and she covered basically, opined, I guess I should say, how the Department of Justice covered three major issues recently, and she felt that the way those three major issues were handled by the Department of Justice made us look like a... basically, some kind of Republican South America or something like that. We're going to start out and get Jimmy's opinion on one of them, and we're going to talk about the Project Veritas raid. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so I know Harmit Dhillon is one of many. Actually, you know, she's a staunch Republican.
Yeah.
But there are Democrats that are coming out, legal scholars, Jonathan Turley, George Washington University a professor,
yep.
Law professor, Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law, you know, a lot of these Democrats that are coming out and saying, whoa, what's happening with Department of Justice? And they have basically gone on a political attack against, you know, Christian ideology, against anybody that's supporting Trump or Make America Great. And it's a campaign effort, a information warfare effort to actually incite violence against conservatives and using justice and law enforcement. We've talked about it quite a bit. There's so much evidence right now.
We've talked about it quite a bit on the radio show. We've also talked about it quite a bit in editorials. But given the fact that this woman wrote about it in Imprimis, I wanted to kind of sum everything up today. The second thing she talked about that she felt was handled totally unconstitutionally was the Mar-a-Lago raid. Jim, give us some comments on that.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, the entire concept of a executive privilege is now being, you know, a lot of Democrats and certainly people in the Biden administration, including Merrick Garland, they're bitter about the previous 4 years under the Trump administration. And they are using any tactic that they possibly can to try to undermine. And the Mar-a-Lago raid was basically using a small political argument that's been sitting in courts, actually. And it was actually decided by courts that presidents have the right to declassify, to hold documents. And they use that as a political tool in order to undermine Trump prior to this election. And, of course, they're pushing with the January 6th congressional, you know, clown show, the committee, to indict him for some cause, for some reason. And you know what it shows? It shows they're absolutely scared to death of the politics that are in, and politicians, but more importantly, the people that are fed up with what's been happening in Washington. So Trump is the leader of that movement. They will do anything they possibly can to attack him. Mar-a-Lago was to get headline news that he was being investigated and potentially indicted at some point over these accusations of misuse of classified information. The problem is, the legal system has actually decided this over, you know, a number of decades, including with Bill Clinton. And of course, Obama kept, you know, literally tens of thousands of records and didn't want to have them even released for 5 years. There's a lot of questions about why the DOJ did it. It's pretty clear why they did it. The unfortunate reality is a lot of people and the media and the corporate entities and the tech companies are continuing to perpetuate the myths that we saw going through the entire Trump administration.
Yep.
But somehow he's breaking the law.
Yep.
And I think they're, unfortunately, they may actually, you know, try and indict and arrest. We'll see how that turns out. But that's just causing division in the nation.
It's causing a major division in the nation. There's no question about that. This woman goes on and she talks about election and integrity in the United States and freedom of speech. I want to read you something that she mentioned a little bit down in her editorial. She said, included in the Department of Journal's crosshairs are those who participated in the political process as alternate electors, those in Congress who voted against certifying the election results, those who organized or peacefully attended a permitted rally on the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, even if they had nothing to do with the activities on the Capitol, in the Capitol on that particular day. Jim, I'll tell you, this woman kept me up late last night because I read this particular editorial three times to make sure I got everything just right. She brings out a very, very good point about what's going on in the country. And to me, it's terrifying, Jim.
No, it is terrifying. This is exactly what's happened in every communist takeover, every authoritarian takeover of a community and a society, every fascist takeover of a community and society in history. And we're seeing it going in slow motion. A lot of people think in the United States that we're immune from this, but the reality is if you combine the power of the press, the propaganda tools, being influenced by the government and supported by big money and resources, you actually end up silencing any individuals. And, of course, you add the big tech people involved in this that are silencing information. So this is, let me give an example of the big tech silencing. So yesterday at the Eagles-Dallas Cowboys game in Philadelphia, Joe Biden went out on the field to flip the coin in support of some cause, whatever. She was booed loudly and strongly, but you will not find on big tech platforms videos showing that at all.
No. I've been over the news this morning pretty good, Jim. I did not see that any place.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of discussion about it, but trying to find videos from people who were there, non-existent, because the tech companies are silencing that. And it's one of the hundreds and really thousands of events right now that are silencing opposition voices or people that are saying this is just wrong.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the big money in America is involved with the tech companies. I mean, whether you're talking about Amazon, whether you're talking about Microsoft, it's all the same. They are very, very adamantly nationalists, and they should be. No, I'm sorry, not nationalists. They're globalists, and they should be, because that's going to simply make them more and more and more money. They don't really seem to care about America as you and I and most of our, not most, but all of our listeners do. Jim, I want to ask your opinion about something else. I kind of wanted to save this topic until tomorrow, but we are... we have time available right now. I want to talk a little bit about your opinion about how Saudi Arabia is handling the oil supply situation. They're basically totally ignoring, totally not caring on the surface at all about Biden's trip.
No, I think Saudis had built a strong relationship with the Trump administration.
Yes, they did.
In particular, Jared Kushner. There was stability coming in the Middle East because of a change with the Trump administration after the Obama administration had completely caused catastrophic failures across the region.
Yep.
Trump came in and said, stop supporting terrorism, we'll support your governments, and then you work, internally with your own issues. We're going to stay out of it. We're not going to incite violence and use Facebook like the Obama administration did. So they like that. And what they're seeing right now is the inconsistency of the Biden regime, and they're frustrated with it.
Yep.
So they are definitely taking actions, and OPEC is taking actions. They're looking at an economic downturn. So they're preparing themselves for that downturn. But simultaneously, I just think that they are, in fact, playing in the politics world in the United States because they know how important the United States is to the global economy.
Yeah.
They know how important stability is. And in every single case, the Biden regime has failed U.S. policy interests and screwed over people. Let's, you know, Afghanistan. We know what happened there with the withdrawal. North Korea, you know, Kamala Harris goes to North Korea and they immediately start launching missiles after they hadn't done it for a long time. And there were some actual negotiations with Trump. And that takes a long time to work those things out. It doesn't take long to turn them backwards. Iran rekindling the JCPOA, the Iran nuke deal, has created catastrophe. And oh, by the way, the Iranians are funding resources, giving resources to the Russians.
They are in
Ukraine. We're seeing it actually, you know, a number of attacks in the last 24 hours with Iranian drones. And the Iranians are facing internal dissent. I mean, serious internal dissent. And of course, the Saudis cannot stand the Iranians. They have the Iranians have attempting to overthrow the kingdom's government for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So with Israel, alienating Israel, the same issues. The Biden regime, in every single case, you go to Ukraine and the failures there, the failures with Russia, across the board, every international agreement, they've created instability, market problems, economic problems, pushing an ideology, a green ideology, and control through kind of this, you know, if you want to call it the Great Reset or you know, globalist takeover of the world to, you know, form one world government that they are buying into. In every case, it does not mix with people like Saudi Arabia's interests or Iran or North Korea or Afghanistan, any of these other interests. Yeah. Certainly not in Western Europe and what they're seeing now. So that's why you're seeing changes all over the place in, you know, Italy and Poland, in the UK. And I think that what you're going to see with the Saudi situation and the oil situation is we're going to see increased gas prices in the last 2 weeks of this prior to this midterm election, and that's going to have an impact on people's beliefs on how effective the Biden administration has been, and that's going to be politically slapped right back in their face.
Yeah. Jim, let me ask you a question about the markets. So the Dow is, or the S&P, I'm sorry, is up about 2.7% this morning. The Dow is up modestly 1.9%, NASDAQ is up modestly 3.3%. What's this an indication of in your opinion?
Well, my opinion is, as I talked about last week, you're going to see these ups and downs. There is no indication that inflation is slowing down.
No.
There's no indication that the administration, the Biden regime, is putting in place policies that will recreate energy independence for the United States or will actually stabilize the situation. So you have BlackRock, Vanguard, Fidelity, a lot of these major investment companies and a lot of hedge funds that are supporting this administration. Oh, by the way, they're trying to make money too.
Yep.
They're looking at volatility. They're trading on volatility. That's a way that they can actually keep their portfolios somewhat strong. You're going to see a lot of volatility, but I think we're actually just on the precipice of a very serious problem. We're in recession. So what I'm concerned about is actually going into depression.
We're in recession. I think there's a good chance, given what's going on right now, common sense and what I know about economics and finance tells me that we could have a rather serious recession, damn near a depression, next year. I agree with many of the pundits, not pundits, but economists who feel that way. Jimmy, 13 and a half minutes so far. We've covered what I think are four really important topics. Anything else we left out in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. There's some great stuff that went on this weekend, in particular Herschel Walker, Ralph Warnock's debate on Friday night.
Right.
You know, people expect there's a lot
that.
Of a lot of people discussing it right now because most expected Warnock as a preacher, as a, you know, polished speaker, as a current senator, sitting senator, to actually wipe the floor with Herschel Walker, and Herschel Walker being kind of a little country boy with not much you know, his academic skills are not on. His football skills were pretty solid, but they were just straightforward. You know, go forward, big, tall, big dude, and win. That's what he did the other night. And it turns out that he really made a powerful few statements that embarrassed Ralph Warnock.
Yeah.
And that is crucial because Brian Kemp, the governor, is leading significantly against Stacey Abrams. A lot of Republicans are hesitant to vote for Herschel Walker because they just didn't think, here's this football guy. He's not an intellectual. He's, you know, whatever. That was a joke candidacy in some respects.
Yeah.
But the turning point here is a lot of those candidates or a lot of those Republican voters are gonna that are supporting Kemp are going to say, wait a second, we need this guy. Get Warnock out. And Warnock has got a lot of dirty baggage behind him.
Yeah.
And Walker did a good job with his countering any of those arguments, and they basically flipped them around in a very common sense, country boy kind of way.
Yeah,
very impressive for I think unexpected by most observers.
Yeah, Jim, I want to just stress one thing at the end of this editorial that I think is really interesting. You mentioned that that Mrs. Jill Biden was booed at the game where she flipped the coin yesterday.
Yes, in Philadelphia.
Did you see that?
I've actually seen that's what I'm talking about. The point is there is a lot of reporting on it.
Yeah.
A lot of people have reported from the event, but you can't see the videos because the White House has posted a couple of videos where she's flipping the coin and singing the song for the Eagles,
yeah.
their fight song or whatever. But you're not seeing any videos of what the booing was about in spite of a lot of reporting on it. And that shows you that the big tech companies are silencing TikTok videos, they're silencing YouTube videos and Facebook posts of that event, which, you know, again, is a huge indicator of how far tech is going to push in order to achieve an agenda.
Yeah.
Political agenda.
Yeah.
I think they're making a huge mistake. But it's a very dangerous moment in American, in world history because of the amount of power that they have.
Well, I would agree with that. Jim, I just want to say one thing. I want to ask most of our bloggers, please cut the, I mean, I know how you feel. We all know how you feel. We all know that you're very anti-American government right now. Let's have some constructive criticism just as opposed to just negativity, if you could do that for Big Al and Jim. Thank you so much. Jim, thanks for the help, man.
Yeah, Al, no problem. And I do want to say that most of the, you know, this weekend's, you know, comments on the blog have actually been, you know, realistically good things, good advice, good consideration. So, I'm happy with that.
Let's keep it in that direction. I would appreciate that. I got a lot of respect for you guys, and you know that. Let's cut the negativity and get into positive reconstruction. Jim, I love you, bud. Thanks, man.
Yep. Talk to you later.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.